Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some time ago, I was at a busy airport, and I was waiting to pick up a priest who was coming in to the U.S. from Nigeria. And I was waiting there a long time, probably about an hour, to find him as he got off the airplane. And one of the amazing things that always stands out for me when you're at an airport is you see so many expressions of relationships. You know, you have people who are, you know, wishing their loved ones a good and safe trip as they leave someplace, and there's a certain expression of sadness as a loved one departs for another place. And then you have others who are longing for the return of their friends and family from a long trip. And when they return, you see such great gratitude and such immense love for the one who is returning on the part of the one waiting for them. This really human experience of people departing and returning is really part of human relationships and love. Anyway, I was waiting for this priest to come off the plane, and I was waiting there a long time, and I was really moved by all of the expressions of relationship that people were sharing to one another as they wished people a good trip as they left and as they welcomed people when they returned. And as I said, I was there for about an hour, and I was standing on one side of a big pole in the airport, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to walk around a little bit, and that way I'm not just standing in one spot the whole time. And I walked around, and lo and behold, the priest I was looking for was sitting on the other side of the pole, and he was there waiting for me. But anyway, I was able to bring him to the place he was going to. But that witness of relationship that I saw so many expressions of in the airport really stayed with me. Now, the apostles of Jesus, they have a certain spirituality of longing for someone to return in this relationship of love, and it's focused on Jesus Christ. The apostles knew that Jesus had come to us the first time in the wonder of the incarnation when he was born of the Virgin Mary at Christmas, and that he had died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then left in the ascension to the Father. In a way, it seemed that Christ had departed for good, although at the same time he had promised to remain with his friends all the days of this earth. And they're looking for his dramatic and glorious return and the second coming at the end of time and all the angels with him. In a way, they're living that sort of experience of people waiting for their loved ones to return. And what the apostles do in their writings and their preaching is they try to help people to know how to live in the correct way, to live that spirituality of longing for the Lord Jesus to return, to live a way of life of looking for the second coming of Christ. One of the apostles, St. Paul, in this letter that I read to you at the beginning of this talk, this letter to the Philippians, shows us that one of the most important ways by which we are preparing ourselves to welcome Christ when he comes again in glory, and he will come, is the way of humility, the way of littleness. Now, we live in this situation where we're waiting for Christ to return in all his glory and to bring universal salvation for those who follow him. And what we have to do is live this waiting with humility. St. Paul, in his letter, begins to explain what humility looks like. He says, be of the same mind, the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or vainglory. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, and look not to your own interests, but also for the interests of others. In this humility, the first place that we live this is in our families, in marriages, among our friends and co-workers. It's really the family where we begin to live this expression of humility, which is very necessary in order to build up relationships. Now, the second part of this letter from St. Paul is he gives us the example of the Lord Jesus. He says of Jesus that he was humble, that he came in human likeness. Now, this is Jesus who is the great King, the Master of the Harvest, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of the Father. That he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even to death on a cross. Now, here's the thing about the humility of Jesus. Look at his life. His life was one where he experienced many things that we would have to say are totally unfair. You know, he was born homeless, he had been rejected, he was betrayed and mocked and spat upon. He'd done nothing wrong and he was innocent and only did what was good for people, and he was crucified and he died on the cross. And yet in all of that, he maintains, obviously because he can, because of his divinity, he maintains this spirit of humility. And this is the example for us, that we have to live this humility even when it is difficult. Think about this. Just like Jesus, many of us at some point in our life's journey are going to be treated unfairly by the circumstances around us, perhaps by the people around us. We might be treated unjustly. We could be wronged by others. And we could be wronged by others by their negligence or even by their malice. And while there are times where we must stand up for justice and right the wrongs that have been done, we've got to live like Christ in humility. This humility will help us so much, because by humility, we come to believe that our number one goal in life is not to be never wronged or never treated unfairly. Our number one goal in life is to live in a way pleasing to God the Father, to live in the light of the Lord Jesus. In this way, if we are ever wronged or treated unfairly, we can still work on the great project of our life, the great mission of our life's purpose. Our life is not ruined if someone treats us unfairly, if we're wronged by life circumstances. We still have our purpose right before us, and no one can take that away from us. Humility helps us to see that it's most important for us to live in a way pleasing to God. If we instead take the path of arrogance, then by arrogance, we feel that our number one goal in life is to never be treated unfairly, to never be wronged. And then when we are treated unfairly and are wronged by others, we feel that our life is ruined. We feel constantly angry, and we feel a constant drive to get back at the people that wronged us or harmed us. That becomes our big project in life, and it's so petty. So we don't want to go down the path of arrogance. We want to go down the path of humility. And this humility helps us to endure the sufferings of life in a much easier way, because it keeps us on this vision of realizing that our life's purpose is never derailed by what happens to us. We've got a mission to serve God and to serve others. Humility is lived, first of all, towards God by trusting in Him, by trusting that His commandments and His law, the teachings of the gospel and the church, are good for us, and by trusting that God's divine providence is taking care of us right now. In a way, it's an imitation of Christ, who knew that His Father was taking care of Him in the whole time of His passion and death. And humility is practiced before others, in a way by looking up to others, by seeking their good. And this humility begins in our families. And so, brothers and sisters, we have this call in this time where we're waiting for the return of Christ, to live this relationship to Christ this relationship of love, which is lived by humility. God first, others second, ourselves last. And you know, when we do this, then the prophecy of Jesus is fulfilled. The last become first. How do we understand this? Very simply, that when God is our number one priority, that as we live for the kingdom of God in holiness of life, turning away from sin and trusting in God's providence, and others are second by serving others and looking up to them, and ourselves are last by seeking not our own perfect treatment by others, but seeking to serve others and help their life to be better. The last become first in this way. We start to experience more fully the presence of Christ in our lives. We come to experience more fully that Jesus is with us. In the way of humility, not only does life actually become easier for us, but we open ourselves to the Spirit of Christ, who really lifts us up. God bless you.